You are listening to G220 Radio Network, where you can hear G220 Radio, hosted by Ricky Gantz, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, discussing a wide variety of topics from a Christian worldview with many great guests. On Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in to listen to Christ the Rock Church sermons by Pastor Austin Hetzler. Join us monthly to listen to Tongue Waggers, Linguistics from a Christian Worldview, hosted by George Alvarado and Mike Miller. You can also listen to our newest edition, Creation Revival Radio, the first Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, hosted by Dr. Anthony Silvestro, the founder of Creation Revival Ministry. To stay up to date on all the latest news and shows on the G220 Radio Network, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can listen live to our programs on Blog Talk Radio, or if you're unable to tune into the live broadcast, you can subscribe on iTunes to listen to the podcast.
You're listening to G220 Radio, an internet radio show that airs Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. G220 Radio is a show that covers many topics from a biblical worldview, like politics, raising your family, to topical questions from the Bible. Be sure to tune in on Tuesday nights at blogtalkradio.com/G220Radio. Thank you.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of schmaltzy music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
And good evening. Welcome to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I want to welcome you to the program tonight, and thank you for joining us. We've got a good program for you tonight. Looking forward to it. But before we do get into the program, I want to talk about a few other things that are going on. I want to let you guys know about Reformed Theological Seminary. RTS is a wonderful tool that you can use, you know, by going on iTunes and downloading an iTunes University app. You can actually get a lot of seminary courses that you can listen to through RTS. I just finished up one today on the American Presbyterian Church, and it went through a lot of history with the Presbyterians. I'm not even a Presbyterian. I'm Baptist, but such great theology is in there, and such great history of learning, you know, through our Christian history and of our brothers and sisters. And so Reformed Theological Seminary, it's a great place to get some really good seminary education. If you're really just wanting to learn things, if you want to study these things, maybe you're not looking to get a degree, but you just want to get some knowledge and understanding on many different topics that would be taught from a seminary level. Well, RTS is a place I definitely want to encourage you to check out, because they have a lot of great materials there. You can do Old Testament surveys, New Testaments. There's so much there that you could download and go through. And so it's definitely a good tool to help you grow in your understanding of the scriptures and in church history and many other things as well. So definitely check that out. I want to tell you too about Audible. I use Audible. I don't get paid to promote these things, but I use Audible a lot to get Christian audiobooks. And what it is, you know, you sign up for it and you pay a certain amount each month, but then you get a free, you know, you get a credit from basically what you're paying for, and you get a book every month. And so I get an audiobook. And there's a lot of books that you can get. I've listened to many audiobooks from MacArthur, some from Steve Lawson, many from R.C. Sproul, and just the list goes on and on, the many different audiobooks you can get from there. If you're someone like me who doesn't have as much time to spend sitting down and actually reading through many different books, it's a great way to actually learn from books, but doing it, you know, where you're able to listen to the book. And so it's a great, great opportunity. So I want to encourage you to check that out. Or if you have time, maybe not do Audible, but find some audio books, and it can really help you in your growth, because I'm able to, and I know everybody's scheduling timing may be different, but I'm able to get through sometimes a whole book in maybe a day or 2 days, maybe 3 days, depending on the length of the book. But it's a great tool to help you continue to renew your mind. You know, the Bible tells us to be transformed, not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And these are just some great tools I just wanted to share with you guys out there in the listener land. RTS, like I said, great ministry stuff there. And then Audible or audio books that can, you know, renew your mind, filling your mind on the things of Christ and the things to learn from the scriptures. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
There are things that cause the heart to wonder. Awe-inspiring things that can't be explained. But you never thought you would see. After more than 4,000 years, it's your moment to encounter the Ark. The voyage begins again, July 7th.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
If you want to grow in your understanding of God's Word and learn to study the Bible for yourself, join Pastor Andrew Rappaport as he teaches each week from the Word of God. The teaching is free through the Internet, but paid students receive a syllabus for each course with extra study materials. The cost is only $50 per year, with special pricing for church groups. And you get to choose from the School of Biblical Hermeneutics or the School of Systematic Theology. Sign up today for Striving for Eternity Academy. Details at strivingforeternity.org.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few"? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel, not only in the way that they live their lives, but how to speak to the campus community about the gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com. Christian Collegiate Network, changeyourcampus.com.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
And welcome back to G220 Radio. Another thing I want to promote for you guys to check it out is definitely Sports Fan Outreach International. They've got some outreaches coming up here July 9th through the 12th, just right around the corner here. They got the baseball All-Star game. And then they have the Rio 2016 outreach is in August 8th through the 17th. And then NFL London outreach. The NFL is going to be playing a game in London October 21st through the 31st, and then Houston, the Super Bowl for next year, will be February 2nd through the 5th of 2017. So those are some things you can put on your calendar. If you've never done an outreach with Sportsman Outreach International, I want to encourage you to do that as well. Real quick, I wanted to talk briefly before I bring my guests on. I don't know if you've seen this conversation that's been in the news. The guy was on The View. His name's Trey Pearson. I guess he's with a quote-unquote contemporary Christian band that is called Everyday Sunday, and he just came out recently as a gay quote-unquote Christian, and he was on The View and sharing you know, what it's like coming out and some of his understanding and beliefs. And well, he's going to be playing at the Columbus Pride Festival with his band. This is a Christian, quote-unquote, Christian band, and they're going to be playing down there for the Pride Festival that goes on. Well, what I would like you guys to do, the listeners, is reach out to this Trey Pearson on Twitter. I sent him a message on Twitter. I don't know if he'll get it, but I think the more people that maybe reach out to this young man, maybe we can get him to come on G220 Radio. And I put it out there to him because he said he would like to see the church have a conversation about this. So I threw it out there and said, hey, I'm willing to have this conversation. Let's talk. And so if you would do me that favor and going on your Twitter, if you have Twitter, and go to @TreyPearson, it's Everyday Sunday, I guess, is the name of the band. I never heard of this band before this coming out publicly here. But if you could do that and share with him and just say, hey, would love to see you go on G220 Radio. Maybe we can get him to come on and just have a conversation with this young man and share the truth from the scripture, what the Bible says about homosexuality. Okay, so I don't want to get too far off topic here. We've got a lot to discuss here tonight with my two guests, and I'm excited to have them coming on. And so I've got Caleb Davenport with me. Caleb, welcome to G220 Radio.
Hey, Ricky, how you doing?
And I have Joe Conkle, who's been on before. Welcome to G220 Radio, Joe.
Thanks, Ricky. It's great to be back on again.
Well, I'm looking forward to having you brothers on. Joe, I've met you 4 years ago at the Kentucky Derby, and that was the first time I interacted with you and find out that you are from the same great state of Ohio that I am. And Caleb, I've had the pleasure to get to know you over the last couple years as well, and really got to serve with you at this last Kentucky Derby. On the same team. And so that was a pleasure to get to know you as well. And some of the outreaches that we've interacted with each other out there here in Ohio. I know we went to the, what is that? The Hall of Fame game here in Canton, Ohio. It was the Hall of Fame. So you was out there. And so it's been a pleasure to get to know you guys, but I want to share with the listeners who maybe don't know you, or maybe they do, the opportunity to really get to know you guys as well and hear your testimonies tonight. And so I think we're definitely going to start with that. Caleb, I think we'll start with you. And just go ahead and share your testimony, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, as a young man, I was raised, obviously, in the church. You don't get a name like Caleb, and 50 years ago anyways, unless you had some kind of Christian background. Nobody was named that when I was growing up. Of course, that's become a popular name today. But my father, you know, he believed that heaven was real and hell was hot, and he always taught about you got to turn from your sins and turn from the way you've been living and what you want to do and turn to Christ for salvation. And as a young man, I wasn't discipled, but that was a basic message I got. And I really believe my mom and dad love the Lord. But I wasn't discipled. I was raised in a more of a charismatic background. And it wasn't really until I went to Liberty University, and I went there to play college football, that God began to get a hold of my heart and life. And it was specifically through apologetics that I began to understand that Christianity is not just something my mom and dad taught me, but it is in fact true. And it was the whole argument of the liar, lunatic, or the Son of God argument that got me, that Jesus Christ proclaimed to be God. And if you proclaim to be God, then you've either got to say he was a liar, a lunatic, or he indeed was the Son of God. And it was through that process maybe begin to believe, well, if this is true, then I want to give my life to it. And it was probably my freshman and sophomore year that in college that I began to say, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, where you want me to go, but my life is yours, and I'm willing to do whatever it is. And I was traveling in evangelism, you know, probably about 19, 20 years of age. As a matter of fact, between college and my graduate work, I traveled the whole country working with another evangelist all across the United States. But like a lot of us, we get married and have children, and we get busy with life, and we don't always keep up those things that God gave us early in life. And here in my latter part of my life, the Lord is bringing that back into my heart and the desire to go out and share the gospel and to bring back that fire that was there as a young man. There are many reasons why we sometimes don't stay focused on what's important. Jesus even said himself, he said, I'll follow you. But he says, I've taken a wife and I cannot come. And he wasn't saying it was the wife's problem, obviously, but he was talking about just getting busy with life. And because of that, sometimes we lose our priority. But I really thank God for the heart that I've seen that many guys have, the Sports Fans Outreach International. And you know, when you get together with these brothers, they love God and they want to serve the Lord. And they're not out there to promote themselves. They're out there to promote Christ. And I think that's what stirred the fire back within me. And, of course, meeting Joe. And Joe and I go to the same church together. And we both had a heart for evangelism. We just had to come to the same church to find that out and kind of meet one another, encourage one another.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. And it was definitely an honor getting to know you even better, serving with you at this last Kentucky Derby. It's always, like you said, it's a great time of coming together, fellowship, getting to know the guys that you're out there with, and you just the love for each other. Just kind of it's like you know, I was saying this to my wife before, and I think I've mentioned this on the radio program before, but like when we went to the Ohio Fire, this last recent one. And it's like that when I go to the Kentucky Derby or these other outreaches where you get together with brothers and sisters. It's like you've known them forever, even if you've just met them in person for the first time. I mean, because you just have this bond that's in Christ, this unity in Christ. And it's such a great time of fellowship. It's a great time to get to know each other better and learn a little bit more about them, where they're from and their family and things like that. And so it's a great time. And so it was an honor to get to serve with you out there. Definitely this last one. Now, Joe, we've known each other for a while as well. Like I said, the first time I met you was at the first Kentucky Derby that I went to, and that was 4 years ago. Found out you was from Ohio. People were trying to get me to go to the Ohio Fire. I could not go to that first one. Well, I think it was the second one then at the time, but I couldn't get to it because of my work schedule. But from that, getting to know you more, I was able to, you know, get to know you better. We rode down to one of the Kentucky Derbies together and also come out there to Ashland when you was doing a biggest question giveaway. So we've been able to grow in that relationship and getting to know each other. But why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners and a little bit about yourself as well and how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Ricky, I guess I was always raised up to be a believer. Went to a Baptist church till I was 10. My dad never went, you know, but he made us go. My dad gets saved and he starts going to a Pentecostal church. So of course I asked Jesus into my heart at 11, 12, 14, 17, 18, 22. Actually lived as a false convert for 31 years. And it wasn't until 2005 when I really got saved. A friend had told me, we were just casually talking with some other coworkers, and they mentioned about evolution. And I said, you know, I never believed that. That's, you know, I could never buy that. And one guy said, well, you ought to listen to Kent Hovind, you know. So I got his stuff. Then Kent had a a radio program, and so I listened to that. And he had a guy on there from New Zealand that would share the gospel with people. And so I started listening to his radio program, which was Way of the Master Radio. I'd listened to Todd Friel at the time, was on that. And I started getting some things from Way of the Master, Hell's Best Kept Secret, various things like that. Listened to them, probably listened to Hell's Best Kept Secret, probably 7 or 8 times. It's kind of bothered me, but there was never really a change. Well, there was, and then Todd Friel, they would talk about John MacArthur. So I started podcasting John MacArthur sermons, listening to them. And then one sermon was about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And, brought the convicting work of the Holy Spirit into my heart. And I cried out to God for forgiveness. And I didn't really notice a change. It was actually my wife that noticed a change, and it was through an argument. Because one of the things we used to do was we'd go to movies every week, maybe sometimes twice a week. So it was like one of the big things that we always did together. And we saw just about every movie that came out. And one day she asked if I wanted to, let's go to the movies. And I said, nah, I don't want to see that movie. There's blasphemy in it. And she says, well, let's see this movie. And I said, well, no, there's nudity in that. And I'm literally reading my Bible at the time when she's saying this. And she said, then she got angry and said, says, you don't want to do anything anymore. You know, all the stuff we want to do, you know, you don't want to do anymore. She says, you've changed. All you want to do is read your Bible. And I'm like, wow, I guess I have changed. So I never really noticed that the change, you know, I mean, there was the change there, but looking back at it now, I could see where that point was. And sharing my faith was a big thing that I wanted to do after that, get gospel tracts. And I would just like, you know, lay them on counters or different places. I was terrified to hand them to people. But, you know, through the work of the Holy Spirit emboldening me and learning some apologetics, learning how to share my faith, I've been able to get hooked up with Sports Fans Outreach International, which is what we do, and Andrew Rappaport. And just for the longest time, I thought I was the only guy in Ohio that shared the gospel. I didn't know anyone else. And then... and then it kind of expanded from there when I met Heslop, what's her first name? Anyways, I can't remember her first name. But she worked for Andrew's ministry, Melissa Heslop. And then from there, I met Andrew, and then it just expanded from that. So 2005 is when I got saved, and from... Pentecostalism. And so that's about it. And then of course I start to go on to Providence Church. I'm looking for a Reformed church. That's where I met Caleb. The pastor that was there at the time, he had a heart for evangelism. Also, the interesting thing about that was, is I would get this stuff from Wretched Radio, which had eventually become Wretched Radio, and I would give them to my brother. My brother at the time worked at a factory, and he was sharing them with another guy there at the factory, which I didn't find out till later on. That was actually my pastor. So that's where he got the desire to go out on the streets. And then we had been doing street ministry for 3 years now, going on 4.
Wow.
So we do a prayer stand. We put a prayer stand in Mansfield at the courthouse. I do that 2 days a week, and then we do it here in Ashland 1 day a week. So I get to talk to a lot of people, pass out a lot of tracts. It's, you know, it's a big heroin epidemic in Mansfield, Ohio. So I just spoke to a girl today that was a heroin addict, and got to pray with her, and shared the gospel with her, so we don't know what the Lord's going to do with that.
Yeah, I think that that heroin epidemic is growing in a lot of places here in Ohio. I know Lorain, one of the cities that I border here in Elyria, is got a really bad problem. It's really just seems to be growing in a lot of places here in the state, and probably many other states as well. It's a sad reality. But I want to ask you a little bit about that prayer stand too, a little bit later. But I want to go back to, you know, what you said about Providence Church there and being reformed. Now, Caleb, you guys met at this church at Providence?
Yes, and obviously that was Providence, but God brought Joe and I together. I think that evangelism can be very lonely if you go out and do it by yourself. But God knew Joe's heart and he knew my heart, and he kind of brought us together in his providential way that we could go out and encourage one another as we go to these events, whether it's been the Super Bowl or whether it be the Kentucky Derby or whether it be the All-Star Game in Cincinnati. Last year I went to the All-Star Game. Joe was not able to go last year, but it was really a neat experience once again, just being around the brothers that, you know, they're there for the right reasons. They're not there to, you know, to get, they're there to give. And it's just unique how God brings men of faith together. You know, fire begets fire, and, you know, iron sharpens iron. And there's a lot of men out there, I think, like Joe, like myself, like you, Ricky, but they don't have anybody else to encourage them, I don't think, toward this gift and fanning this flame that's in their heart. And I really encourage anyone who has any desire in evangelism to find someone else that has the same desire and hook up with them and begin to team up together, because I think that's the biblical model. I don't. They always went out two by two. I don't think they ever went out by themselves. I know you have the prophets, that Elijah and Elisha, and I know that happened. But in the New Testament, it seems to be a work together of encouraging one another. And so, God definitely, again, in his providence, brought Joe and I together of their providence.
Yeah. Now, was you going to that church for a while before, or before Joe came there, or did you come?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been going there probably 3 years, maybe four, before Joe came, and had been helping out with the pulpit, sharing of the Bible and teaching when a pastor needed me to step in, and doing various things in the church and involved in fellowships and things of this nature. And then Joe came in and had a desire for evangelism, and you know, obviously that's what I think is important. I always tell people I love the holy huddle, which is going to church and fellowshipping with other believers, but you got to break the huddle and go play the game.
Yeah.
And which means you got to get out and share the gospel. And I knew so many people that are Christians, and I think they are Christians. They just either afraid or intimidated, the stereotyping of what open air preaching is going to be like, or whatever it's going to be. But one characteristic the early church had that we cannot deny is they were bold. And when you look at that early church, you're saying, okay, you compare that to the Church of America, and you say, okay, where is the boldness? And maybe a lot of people that call themselves Christians really aren't Christians, because I think if you are a Christian, you're going to have a desire to share the gospel. That doesn't mean you're going to, you know, every day of every minute, you know, be passing out tracts or being involved in, you know, because we got to live our lives. We got jobs. We got bills to pay. I understand that. But it will be a priority in your life at some point in time if you're a believer, because, you know, Peter and John, when they were arrested, they told them, don't share the gospel anymore. They said, we can't help but share what we've seen and heard. And
right,
there was that overwhelming desire. And you've either lost your first love or you're backslidden, or maybe you're not even saved if there's no desire to share
right,
the gospel.
Right. Now, Joe, when you mentioned about going to Providence, you said that you was looking for a Reformed church. Now, was that when you came out of the Charismatic or Pentecostal and that's what you was looking for? Like, was it through listening to like Wretched and then listening to MacArthur and things where you realized you were reformed, or how did that play out?
Well, when I got saved in 2005, I was working third shift and didn't have weekends off, so it was hard for me to stay up to go to church. So I had a desire to go to church, and eventually took another job, within the prison system. And I went, just started going to a friend of mine's church that I knew he was a Christian. He loved the Lord. And this was before I would have been per se reformed. It was a charismatic church. And I went to there for 3 years. And, just early on, I realized I was not charismatic. I came to probably a formed understanding by considering what was I in, what was my situation, and so I started looking up studying the doctrine of man. You know, what does the Bible say about man, and then what does it say about God, and that's kind of where that came from. I probably kind of took it backwards. I should have started with God and then went to man, but I went backwards, but it worked for me. But then the other influences, other reformed people like Sproul, is pretty influential. So MacArthur is fairly reformed. Not as eschatology, but anyways, that's an inside joke, by the way, for everybody listening. But that's where I came from. I left that church, and then was looking for a Reformed church, so I Googled it. I went to Nine Marks Ministry first. And found one, went to that, really wasn't real impressed, and then just started searching Reformed and found Providence. And I started going there. That's where I met the pastor. That's where I found out, like a year later, like I told you, that he was getting the DVDs and all that on evangelism that I was given to my brother. So that's where he got a desire to do evangelism also. So it was kind of, God and his providential work brought me to where I was. And Caleb is, the last couple of years, he's been going out with me. I think we had 2 Super Bowls, 2 Kentucky Derbies together. And he's been a blessing to me, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know it definitely is like what Caleb was saying for the encouraging and what you just said about Caleb being a blessing to you. Having others go out with you, it is such a huge encouragement. And I think God, in his grace, allows that to help build us in our boldness. Ultimately, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time we see them in the New Testament filled with the Holy Spirit, they were bold. So we're commanded to be filled. But then I think God puts those people in our lives to help us and encourage us, to be able to get out there. And because I've tried, actually, since we've got a nice group of guys that go out every once in a while, well, a good group of guys that go out with us here up in the Cleveland area, I've tried to go out by myself a few times, and it's a different feeling. It's like, I'm still nervous even when I go out with a group to get up and open air preach. But you have that support of your brothers and sisters, and you're relying on Christ ultimately and the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you. But, it is such a comfort when you have brothers there to encourage you, and to help you, and also to correct you sometimes if you're up there and you say something wrong, or you, all in love, just trying to look out for each other while we're out there. And so it's definitely a blessing to have that, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm very encouraged by your ministry because, I've been able to watch your ministry grow and how you've been able to get people together to go out with you. good number of people, just impressed. It shows that God is growing your ministry and that God is working through you. So that's awesome.
Well, all the glory to God. I know when I first
Amen.
When I had that Elijah complex in the beginning as well, because I was thinking I was the only one going out there in Ohio. Like, I was like, there's nobody else. Where's everybody that wants to share the gospel? And I remember asking, I asked a few people. I asked, I think, Jeff Rose at the time, and I asked, I ended up talking to Bill Adams from Sports Fan Outreach. And Bill said, you know what, just keep going. And Jeff was like, Jeff Rose said, just keep praying that people, you know, God would bring people into your, you know, into the area there. But, and so to when people started coming around, like I said, it's really been an encouragement. And like you guys, you know, you guys are down in Mansfield area, so it's not real far away, but it's a distance, maybe an hour. And I think it's about an hour and 20 minutes, maybe, if that, maybe an hour, 15, I think. Right. Correct me if I'm wrong on
right.
the distance.
No, that's about right.
Yeah, and so I mean, but there's more. It's just like a wonderful thing to see, like going down towards Columbus. We've got guys down there or in the Mansfield area, and then going down in Cincinnati, we've got some brothers down there, and just this, it's
Columbus?
Wonderful to see. Yeah, in Columbus, you know, got some good brothers there, Mike Coughlin, and just a wonderful thing to see what God's doing. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, just Fred Triplett was another one we're thinking of people. Down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Fred Triplett. Yeah, yeah. So it's a wonderful thing, you know, and that's why I titled this one Ohio Brethren, because I just love to see what the Lord's been doing overall in this state. And there's, you know, there's some wonderful brothers that are out there. You two are two of them that, you know, are going out and sharing. And I wanted to talk about this prayer stand, too, because I didn't really know much about that, I think, until – I want to say maybe a year ago or maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, is when I first heard about these prayer stands. I think someone was trying to sell – I think they were at the Ohio Fire 2 years ago, I think, is when I first heard about them, if I'm remembering correctly. But tell me a little bit about these prayer stands. What do they do? Like, or not what do they do, but tell me a little bit about it so that the listeners who might not be familiar with what they are and how that works.
Sure. It is a kind of a passive way of being able to share the gospel with someone. You know, it's not aggressive. You know, it's a stand that says prayer on it. It's got a carousel where you have tracks, and it's, you know, if you're out in the rain, you can close it up. It's all waterproof and everything. It's really a great product, and we use it. Like I said, I use it in the courthouse, and you know who's going to need prayer that's going in to see a judge,
right?
Of course, a lot of people do. So that gives me an opportunity. I put a gospel track out, say, can we pray for you for anything? And they're not even thinking about what I'm handing them; they're thinking about what I said. So their hand automatically 90% of the time grabs the track out of my hand. So I've got the gospel in their hand. They want prayer. I pray for them to pray for their need. And in the prayer, I also include that if they do not know Christ, that he would save them. It would change their heart, give them a new desire. You know, I just kind of mix it up a little bit, but I always throw that Jesus Christ in there and his saving work. And then, you know, that might even give me an opportunity to share the gospel with them. So you know, it's not every time, because a lot of times people are running late, but I can catch them when they come out. But I shared the gospel probably, me and David Nickel, he's another guy that comes with me. We probably shared the gospel 6 or 7 times today with different people. Sometimes, you know, they, you know, I had my first time out this year. I was with Mike Stockwell, was staying at my house. So me and him went out, and I shared the gospel. One guy said that he was saved, and I asked him, well, what does that mean? And he couldn't answer me. And I kind of like, you know, kind of got off on a sidetrack talking to him. And he even took me back to it. What does it mean? You know, he had like an urgency. What does it mean to be saved? I explained to him, you're saved from the wrath of God. God's wrath currently abides upon you. I said, you know, and he was another guy that was dealing with heroin. You know, he's on probation. And I explained to him, I said, you know, that the heroin addiction, that's idolatry too. That's another commandment you've broken. And the man broke down in tears on me. I got to pray with him. It was a beautiful moment. And I haven't seen him since. But out in Mansfield, I saw the guys that stole my air conditioner. Was I on your show the last time? Was about the guys that stole my air conditioner?
Yeah, wasn't that when your house burned down?
Yeah, my house burned down, and some guys came over to try and steal my air conditioner. And I shared the gospel with them, and I saw them again out here. And the one guy I found out was a heroin addict, and he came up to me and he gave me a hug, and he said, "I've been showing me his coin." He said he's been 4 months clean, and you know, thanked me for sharing the gospel with him. And you know, so I've had a couple people that remember me that are going to church. Going to a church now that were drug addicts that I've was able to share the gospel with out there on the streets. So it's us in evangelism, the evangelism we do, we don't really hardly ever see any results, you know, any fruit of what we do. So it's like this year at the Kentucky Derby, the Marine that came over, you know, that said that the gospel changed his life. You know, how encouraging is that? I mean, it just gives you that much more boldness to go back out, to know that God is going to save who he chooses. And we're going to water a seed. We're going to plant a seed, whatever. God's going to bring the harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. And praise the Lord that he gives us those opportunities to see the fruit of evangelistic endeavors, because again, he doesn't have to show us those things, and we are still going to be faithful to proclaim the good news. But when we do get to see that, how much more encouraging is that for us in our growth and in our walk with the Lord, to just be blessed by him to allow us to see the fruit of, you know, the labor that he allows us to be a part of. And so, glory to God for that. Now, are those stands, are they pretty light to carry around, or?
Yeah, I mean they're long. They're kind of bulky. I guess if you got narrow shoulders, you can hook it over your shoulders. I seen one young man do it at the Kentucky Derby last year. I could never do that, but it probably weighs about 30 pounds. So 25, 30 pounds. It's not real heavy, but I wouldn't want to carry it a long ways, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's easy to set up. It takes a few minutes to set up. I just enjoy using it because it's a way that people to get an in with people. You know, a lot of people is going to want prayer.
Yeah,
especially going into court. So it gives you that opportunity to spend some time with them and share the gospel with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Caleb, how long have you been doing the open air preaching?
Well, we did this back when I was going to Liberty. We would do evangelism and travel. We used to put on weightlifting demonstrations in high schools, and then afterwards we would share the gospel. And that was our platform, was, you know, you always mesmerize these kids by benching 400 pounds, and then they want to hear the gospel. And obviously, they probably didn't always want to hear it for the right reasons. But that's when I started in evangelism, and the opportunity was always there. In my heart, the Lord had placed it in my heart, as I said, in college. And then, you know, you probably know, Ricky, I ran for state senate recently in the state of Ohio. We won our county, and we probably would have won the race, but the guy who was I running against, he made me the incumbent, and the low-information voter didn't know any better. So God has always gifted me to be able to speak spontaneously and to share in that manner, and so that's a gift that I think he's always given me, a desire to be ready to give every man an answer who asks the hope that's within me, and that's just a gift he's given me.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord for that. Now, this was your second Kentucky Derby,
I
heard correctly?
Yeah, it was the second one.
And you've been to two Super Bowls?
Yes, two Super Bowls. Great experiences in San Francisco. We got shut down from preaching. I think we're the only group that was shut down. They said our decimal level was 0.14 above where it was supposed to be or something like that. And so we just started singing hymns. And, you know, it seems like when God closes the door, he always opens a window. And that's exactly what happened. Through the singing of the hymns, there was a lot of people who noticed that and were attracted to that. And they began to, and they, of course, the hymns were hymns of the gospel. They weren't some of the 7-Eleven hymns you hear today that have nothing to do with the gospel. And I think that's the reason a lot of people really don't want to go out today, is the stereotype of, there's a guy my wife used to hear when she went to Bowling Green University, a guy named Brother Jed. And Brother Jed would always condemn people, and we saw some of that at the Kentucky Derby as well. Some of the men are just condemning the girls for what they were wearing and telling them they're harlots and telling them this and that. And I say, you know, you've got to share the cross as well. Yes, people have to come to the realization of their sin. Yes, they need to come to understand the wrath of God abides on them, but they also need to hear the good news, which is that Christ died for you. He loved you. He died for you. And repentance, of course, I believe is the foundation to come to the cross. Because Rick Warren made a comment I preached on Sunday at my church. He said the love of God is the energy that brings all revivals, that brings all ministries into fruition. And I thought about that statement. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's just not true. Every great revival came because people's hearts were pricked and they were convicted and they were overwhelmed with their spiritual poverty. And only then can you receive the love of God. Only then is a person ready to understand and appreciate the cross. And so I know you've got to do both, but I'm afraid sometimes the stereotype of evangelists is that they only do the first part, which is the condemning. And I say we've got to share with people both sides of the fence. Yes, the wrath of God abides on us if we do not repent, but that's why he died upon the cross, was so that we can have the gift of repentance and turn to him for salvation.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen, brother. Now let me ask you guys, how do you guys prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts, prepare yourselves for going to the outreaches like a Kentucky Derby, a Super Bowl, and even going and setting up the prayer stand and going into the community and doing evangelism, whether it's open-air preaching or whether it's, you know, having one-on-one conversations? How do you guys prepare yourself? So if somebody's listening that wants to go out there and do that, what are some of the things you guys do to prepare yourselves for that?
I put together, Ricky, messages, and then I eliminate the message, because I believe that God is just as much in the preparation as he is in the delivery of that message, but also prayer. I mean, you've got to really do whatever you do. You need to pray about it. And I think you need to see yourself as going on the battlefield. You are walking out into the enemy territory, and you are willing to be a target. You are willing to stand on that box and share the gospel and plead with men that they don't have to die and go to hell. They can turn to Christ. And as one man said, you have to see those men as their souls are in the balance, and you have to preach this from a dying man to dying men. And so I think that's the mentality that I take, is I'm going into battle. I don't know how God's going to use this seed, but God, give me the desire and the passion to preach this message as if I'll never see these people again, and this is the only opportunity they'll ever have to hear the gospel. And you've got to preach with pathos. You've got to preach with passion. Because I've always said, if the anointing of God is not on your life when you're delivering that message, it's going to fall on deaf ears. And God is the one who's got to illuminate the hearts and minds of those people. But yet I think God's got to prepare the deliverer as well. And I think it's one of the things we do with the Super Bowls and with the events. We usually start praying for those things months in advance. And gathering together at least weekly to pray for that event specifically. And I think by the time we get to that event, that event has so been bathed in prayer that you can feel and believe that God is moving in that event because you realize that you spent time with Him and ask Him to move while you're there. So I think it goes in the preparation of the Word. There are some men who like to speak more spontaneously, and I like that too. However, I guess because of my formal training in seminary, I like to put together an outline with some illustrations and some transitional sentences and a conclusion and an introduction, and I just like it to be as well organized as possible and to deliver a very simple, concise message of the gospel. Because I think today the gospel is so misunderstood. And if you're going to be an evangelist, the first thing you've got to do is make sure you get the gospel right and you communicate what it is and try your best to really help people hone in on what the basic foundations really are.
Yeah. Joe, well, is there anything?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, you know, is there anything you do to prepare or anything you would want to add to what Caleb said?
Caleb touched about everything. Prayer just relying upon the Holy Spirit. You know, you study the Word, you read the Word, you try to, prepare, different verses that you want to spring back and forth to. Sometimes I've gotten up there and I'll say something that I hadn't planned on saying. So it's something that will come to me. So I think we use the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer. Prayer is absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, brothers, it's definitely a... something like you mentioned, the prayer is so important, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, doing these things or doing the preaching and sharing in the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to lead us. And things can change so quickly when you're out there. I know, Joe, like you were saying, sometimes I'll get up and have something in mind and even have something marked in my Bible and just kind of feel led to go a different direction at times. But I also... I saw you, Caleb, at the Derby with the laminated stuff, and then I seen another guy had a music stand, kind of like what Ken Heisel had, what we used on our side there. It's kind of like a music stand, whatever you call those things, and had stuff put up on his. He had it where he had laminated things onto that stand, and I was like, man, those are some good ideas, and I definitely want to work on getting some of that out there, because it's definitely good, because I sometimes forget. Like, I'll have scriptures in my head, but I won't remember where to reference that. Like, I'll have the verse there, but I'm thinking, where is that verse? And to have some of those reference points to definitely get to, because you want to show people the scripture, not just your word that you're saying, but you say, look, this is what the Bible says here.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And and sometimes you get up there and I've got the scripture in my head, like I know what it says, but I can't remember where was that at. You know, in my mind, sometimes it'll draw a blank and it's like, so having those references, I think, is a wonderful, wonderful tool to help you to, again, that you're showing them this is what the Bible says. So they're not just saying that, well, that's just your word, you know?
I also think it takes away, Ricky, some of the nervousness. You know, it's just like when you go to take a test. If you're prepared to take that test, you're not very nervous. But if you're not prepared to take the test, you get nervous. If you know what you want to share the gospel, how you want, where you want to take the message, I think it allows you to relax a lot more. And I'm not saying that you ever really relax, because you understand you are the mouthpiece between God and man. You are representing the greatest message that was ever given, the gospel of Christ. And that's going to make anyone nervous to a certain extent. But I also think if you have a game plan of where you want to go and the message you're trying to communicate, and I really think that's what open-air preaching is about. You need to preach toward something. What are you trying to get these people to do? What is it you're trying to get them to see? What is it you're trying to communicate? And obviously it's to turn from your sin and to turn to Christ for salvation. And there's many ways to do that. There isn't just one way.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, brothers, we're coming down to a few minutes left here in the program, so I want to give you guys each a little time to any last word or anything you'd want the listeners to know, either any prayer requests you guys, maybe if you have something coming up you'd like them to pray for, or just whatever, any last words you guys have.
Well, pray for Joe. I know Joe's been battling with some health issues lately. He's been battling with his hearing, his vision, and his throat. This past week's been a battle for him, and just lift up Joe in prayer and ask God to begin to touch his life physically.
All right. Joe?
Well, you know, just that Caleb and I can continue to be teamed together and be able to do this. He's been such a blessing to me. He has no idea how much of a blessing he's been for me. I know I'm probably a burden on him, but he's just been an absolute blessing to me. I appreciate
Joe,
he's a great man.
You're always a blessing. You're always a blessing.
Well,
yeah,
any
events that we got coming up? We have, I don't know if Michael's going to get anything together for that Gay Pride event in Columbus. We have a two-day event now in Mansfield coming up, so that's they stretched it to 2 days now. So I don't know any more details on that. I just heard about that today, but and then just you can pray for my. It's a Gay Pride event in Mansfield. They had it last year was the first year, and we went there. We went there and passed out tracts, and I got to talk to the people that. Headed it up, that organized it. I talked with them personally, and then there was another one that was in the newspaper, was a transgender individual. And I saw that individual a couple weeks ago and got to speak with that person. So, you know, and it's so much compassion for these people that they are lost. And I want them to know the gospel. But you can continue to pray for my weekly outreach. I the Holy Spirit would just lead people to us that we can share the truth of the gospel with, that he would save many people. Like I said, this heroin addiction is a blight in the city, and like you said, in many cities, because it's so cheap.
Yeah,
it's, you know, people get addicted to prescription drugs, and the prescription drugs are so expensive, and the heroin is a lot cheaper. I've known personally some people that I've known for several years that are struggling with addiction. So that's what I could use prayer for, that God would continue to use me and to bring people to me that need to hear the gospel.
Absolutely, brother. We'll keep you both in prayer for what you guys are doing down there in the Mansfield area. I thank you guys both for coming on the show and just sharing your testimonies and sharing about evangelism here for the listeners. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we will be right back after this quick commercial break to wrap things up.
RabbingGrace.com. Our mission here is to spread the gospel with our clothing and way of life.
What's the gospel?
Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Who came to save sinners?
Died on a cross, nailed my sin there too, was placed in the grave.
3 days later, he defeats sin and death.
And that man, that God, that man, Christ Jesus, rose again from the dead.
A skeleton would come from that sin and trust in him.
Amen, somebody.
Our desire, God will use wrath and grace as a tool to save the lost. Our hope, bring glory to God, man. All praise to him.
Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what better way than to use our clothing as the way to witness? Now you can preach the gospel and wear it too.
It's all wrath and grace since we know it's Christian. And this business is consistent with the Holy Scripture.
Stop by RappingGrace.com and join the movement. RappingGrace.com.
Mark your calendar. Jersey Fire is July 8th and 9th in Toms River, New Jersey. The topic, the Word of God. The speakers, Matt Slick from Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, Justin Peters from Justin Peters Ministry, and Andrew Rappaport from Striving for Eternity. Jersey Fire will equip you to talk to the lost and then put what you learn into practice with guidance and support from seasoned evangelists. Jersey Fire, July 8th and 9th in Toms River, New Jersey. For details, go to jerseyfire.org.
All right, well, that's been G220 Radio for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the program. It was a blessing getting to hear from Caleb and Joe. They're two brothers that I've really enjoyed getting to know over the years, and just getting to know them more and more and better the more times that I get to actually serve alongside these two brothers and learn from them, guys. And so it's been a blessing. Next week on G220 Radio on Tuesday, we are going to be having a debate between Presbyterian – Baptism. It's going to be on baptism, so a Presbyterian view and a Reformed Baptist view. We'll have Mike Waters and Ricky Rolden on the show next week, and they'll be debating each other. So that's something you can look forward to. Also, this Friday, I'm going to be interviewing Daniel Stephen Kearney. We're going to be doing that interview, and then I will be playing that either later that evening. I'll be playing it here on the G220 radio, that interview either later that evening or sometime during the following week. If you don't know Daniel, he was just recently out in Israel preaching, on the streets in Israel, and the videos were kind of going around the internet there on Facebook and social media. So I'm excited about that, having the opportunity to get to interview him about preaching there and preaching in India. So we're going to have that. And so that's something you can look forward to as well. So until then, until that next time we meet again, God bless and good night.
If you have any questions about G220 Radio or would like to leave a comment, you can contact us at g220radio@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback. Also, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this. That God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him